Hello, I'm Alexis Petridis, and this is Music Weekly from The Guardian. In today's podcast, we speak to Canadian electronic musician Caribou.
My friends at the time were not into this kind of music at all. They were all into, like, Dinosaur Jr. and Sonic Youth, extremely credible, relevant music. And I was just like, that's total garbage. These people can't even play their instruments.
There's Katy B, Egyptian, featuring Nicki Minaj and Kisses in Singles Club. And Chief stopped by to record as a live track.
When you appear, I know I won't be here. I just can't live in fear every night and day.
Hello, Rosie. How are you? It's been a long time.
It has.
Last time I saw you was on the Saturday night at Glastonbury.
Well, I saw you. I don't know if...
I noticed that some people were making suggestions that I was... That there's no polite way to put this, drunk during that final podcast. I was just extremely tired, I'll have you know. Have you been having a nice time since Glastonbury?
I have. Missed doing the show, obviously.
Yeah, my life has been but an empty void.
I failed my driving test yesterday.
No!
Yeah, I know. Oh. Within about 5 minutes.
What did you do? Punch the instructor.
I might as well have. I mounted the curb with two wheels. and then he said, I'm going to have to ask you to stop, Rosie, because you're about to hit that tree.
that's not a sentence you ever want to hear during your driving
well,
test.
Well, I'm glad your eyes are working, Mr. Instructor.
Well, you know, there's always another time.
Exactly.
Joining us today, as well as Rosie, it's Malik Mir, editor of The Guardian Guide. Thank you for coming in, Malik.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Can you drive?
I can't, actually, like every other media idiot.
Except me. I'm an expert driver. First up today, it's Caribou, or Dan Snaith, to his mum. Rosie spoke to him, didn't you, Rosie?
I did indeed. I've been waiting for Caribou to become available to us, to have his time available. He's been touring a lot, so he's back in London for a couple of weeks. We got him in the studio. We talked at great length about all sorts of things.
Wow.
Including Ethiopian music.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Hopefully we'll have a Music Weekly extra for anyone that wants to listen to it. But one of the other things
press
I've always...
Press the red button
now. Yeah. One of the other things I've always been interested in, particularly with Caribou, is he's got a PhD in mathematics. And I am so bad at maths, it's ridiculous. So I asked him to explain to me in a sort of purest form what he feels the relationship between mathematics and music is.
My dad's a mathematician, so the whole time in school I was like, I've been around maths, I could do mathematics at school, but I was like, why would anybody want to spend their time doing this? It seems so boring and so dry. And music is so immediate. You put it on and anybody who's, doesn't matter whether they know anything about music, it immediately connects with people. Whereas mathematics, it was like, I ended up going to university and taking a math course, and then it turned out to be this totally different thing, so much more creative and imaginative and intuitive, which was the first time, and I had this kind of real epiphany. I was like, this is what my dad's always liked about it. This is what, you know, was missing. This is what people talk about when they say mathematics is more like philosophy than it is like, you know, chemistry or something like that. It has this real kind of elegance and beauty, and that's I think when I really got interested in mathematics. They're not similar in the way that people always want me to say they're similar, which is, I don't approach music in a way that's kind of formulaic or rational or planned. It's about intuition. It's about playing around with things and things happening by accident and then getting a kind of gut feeling when things are working. And mathematics is the same thing. It's like, it's so opaque a subject. Even, you know, I certainly didn't go, I stopped after a PhD, and there's an immense amount of mathematics is totally, you know, I didn't even get anywhere near. But you always have that sense of kind of fumbling around for something. You don't quite understand it. And then it just kind of snaps into place and you get this kind of feeling that things just work. And it really relies on intuition the same way music does. And I think that's the thing that I liked about both of them. I mean, the way I do music is very solitary, very much me kind of fiddling around with things, it's not that far away from kind of sitting around scratching my head trying to figure out how some kind of abstract ideas fit together.
And was your interest in music, whether just as a fan or playing it, completely parallel to this? So I remember reading that you were, as an adolescent, you were really into, was it prog rock? That was your thing as an adolescent.
It was, yeah. My friends at the time were not into this kind of music at all. They were all into like Dinosaur Jr. and Sonic Youth, extremely credible, relevant music.
Yeah, not theatrical. Just like,
exactly. And I was just like, that's total garbage. These people can't even play their instruments. I had no time for it whatsoever. So all my friends were going up to Toronto to see these bands play, and I was just like, I don't even want to go.
I'm going to stay at home and listen to
it. Exactly. I was sitting there in my room practicing organ solos along with like a Yes album or something. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. I do regret that I didn't have those experiences of seeing live music. It's funny that, you know, that I'm now back in that world of, because I have such a hole in that, you know, that time period where most people like realize, wow, a live concert can be an amazing thing. But I guess again it kind of being kind of the whole sensation of being set apart, whether it being in this little town in Canada, not in London or New York or whatever, not paying attention to what was going on, and also set apart from even my other friends who were kind of trying to introduce me to interesting contemporary music, the whole sensation of being kind of having to do it on my own was something that's been valuable to me.
And what about dance music? When did that start to be an interest or an influence for you?
The kind of sonic character of the music was so alien to me. I was just like, you know, what instruments made this music? What is going on in this music at all? I spent a long time just like sitting there thinking like, do I like this music? Don't I like this music? And it really was kind of a, you know, almost an about face. I kind of went from liking this one type of music to liking almost exactly the opposite.
We're going to have a James Holden remix of one of your tracks for the show, which we're going to hear at the end of the show. Can you tell us a little bit about the song and the remix?
Yeah, so the song, I guess, came out of, I mean, this leads right out of what I was just saying. The song Bowls on the album was made not to be a Caribou song, really. I was so excited by dance music. I wanted to make some stuff just to play in my DJ sets and to give to other people to play in their DJ sets. And that track was never really intended to be on this album. It was only later that I thought, wow, that kind of fits. The first music that turned me back onto dance music in a big way was James Holden's music. It was like a total obsession with his music. It's kind of rare that I hear music that I think, I have no idea how those sounds are made, how that's produced. I don't even have a starting point from a kind of technical perspective. I don't know how that music's made, but that's not really what drew me to his music. His music's so kind of human sounding, and it's kind of electronic, but also really breathes in this really natural way. It's unpredictable and kind of falls apart and always is on the edge of collapsing totally, but has this real momentum to it. That was another epiphany for me, was hearing that music and thinking, I want to make dance music that has that sense of dynamic, that sense of momentum. There are tracks on the end of Andorra that were following that lead, and it's those tracks that kind of made me think about this idea of making kind of liquids, fluid-sounding dance music. It all comes from James's influence, I guess. Exciting thing is that him and other friends, like Kieran Fortet, who's another very, very close friend right from the start of making music, kind of all lined up this year. So later in the year we're doing these all night shows around the UK. We're doing one in London, one in Manchester, and one in Glasgow. Ourselves, James, Kieran, Nathan Fake, band called Rocket Number 9. It's going to be great. It's just like an opportunity for, I mean, for all of us friends to play together, but it really makes sense musically. I think we're each having kind of a musical influence on one another too. It seems like a kind of family.
Dan Snaith, aka Caribou. What an interesting man.
Yeah,
what
he's so
fellow.
Lovely.
Talking about his latest album, Swim, among other things, a mathematician.
We were discussing
before the complete lack of maths knowledge among the three journalists gathered today. It is a really interesting idea, though, isn't it? Because the one thing you sort of think of as being the absolute opposite of mathematics is anything artistic, anything making, you know, involved in making music, that kind of thing. And yet, it would appear he's completely blown that theory out of the water.
We have misunderstood maths.
I completely misunderstood
what maths is all about. I thought it was incredibly boring.
No, absolutely.
Difficult to do.
but it would, I think it is incredibly
one
difficult to do,
things.
Isn't it? I think
yeah.
It's, I'm sure it's not boring. Sea of unconvinced faces, Malik.
I mean, even in the interview, he did say that it's still about gut instinct. So, I mean, in terms of science over music, he's obviously still sort of relying on his, you know, musical brain rather than his maths brain.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Fair enough. I like the image of never let it be said that people who make electronica are kind of nerdy dude, like sat in his bedroom listening to Yes and doing maths. But you know, I mean, his records are absolutely brilliant. I think Caribou. It's interesting. He's off on tour, as you said, with James Holden, Nathan Fake, and Kieran Hebden Fortet. I think that's a really intriguing mix of people because all of them have a sort of slightly cerebral reputation. And yeah, I've seen James Holden and I've seen Kieran Hebden. And it's actually quite boshing what they do live. I mean, you could see it working in a thing. Are you a fan of this kind of stuff, Malik?
I am. I think the interesting thing about Caribou is that they've sort of got more bass and tunes, I think, than the others. And the others can be sort of more, actually a little bit difficult when you're listening to it. But because I saw Caribou at Field Day.
Oh, yeah.
And he sort of came on quite late, sort of headlined the main stage, and you wouldn't...
Did he?
Yeah, it was, and it was after the fall, it was just before...
after the fall.
And, you know, there was a big crowd, and it worked, you know, that sort of bassy, spacey, echoey thing sort of drifting off the main stage, and actually just sounded quite fresh after, you know, having gone to quite a few festivals this summer.
Sure.
And also, the other thing I think really interesting about him is when he was Manitoba before he had to change his name, and he was doing all that folktronica stuff, a lot of that stuff, if you listen to it now, sounds like what Animal Collective have ended up as.
Interesting.
And so, you know, big up Caribou.
Animal Collective are like the Grateful Dead for hipsters, aren't they? I realise they're like fish, they're the pitchfork fish. I was watching their DVD, which is terrible. I thought, absolutely awful.
Oh, this is a film.
Oh, Christ almighty, yes. What a dreadful evening in that film is. And I do like Animal Collective, you know. I like their last album a great deal. But I said, watch it, I was like, this is kind of like hippie music. This is like jam band. It's like people called, you know, Wind Rider twirling around in big skirts. We're getting off the point of talking about Caribou here. Do you think his music, Rosie, could ever cross over into the mainstream?
Well, not really.
Excellent. Anyway, Caribou. he has allowed us an exclusive first play of a James Holden remix that we are going to play in full at the end of the show. What a treat for lovers of...
It's called Bowls, but
yeah, it sounds like he said
it's Bowls.
Yeah.
But it is Bowls.
It is Bowls.
Not Boule.
Not Boule.
Which, according to G2, is très chic.
Is it?
Apparently.
It would be called Boule if it was by Daft Punk.
Exactly.
A little French joke for you people. Yeah, he did sound like he was saying balls, I'm going to give you... My track is Balls. Anyway, stay tuned, obviously, for that. Don't turn off in a huff before you get to hear that. Swim by Caribou is out now. For tour dates for these all-night rave-ups featuring James Holden, Nathan Fake and Fortet, check his website, which is caribou.fm. Singles Club now. You know the drill. We each nominate a new single we like the sound of. Then we break it down before your very ears. First up, let's have a listen to Rosie's selection. Oh, when we erupt into the room and hear the stuff go boom, I'm feeling easy to resume. This right here, I swear, will end too soon. So I sink into the truth as I inhale the fume. I'm feeling easy to resume. That is Katie B on a mission, produced by Benga.
Indeed.
The dubstep figurehead. what's the name of that?
Nothing. We had him on our End of the Decade show and he was just hilarious.
Was he?
And impossible to get any coherence out of him. At the end of the interview, he just said, I haven't gone to bed. Brilliant.
The show he does with Scream and Rinse of Femme is hilarious. I'm led to believe. Apparently it's an absolute hoot, which is not something you expect to say about a dubstep show on a pirate station. Tell us why you brought this in, Rosie.
Well, it's not that new, but it was I think given an official release on Rinse FM while we were off air, so I kind of wanted to bring it in anyway. I think that people have been saying for a while that vocal-led dubstep is the chance that dubstep's got to go properly mainstream and really sell a lot of records. And this, to me, has got that written all over it. I know this is going to sound like faint praise indeed, but almost what Artful Dodgers did for Garage and Tears in the 90s.
I bet that's what Benga
lucky
wants Katie his epitaph
B.
to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Katie
Bowe. Katie Bowe. But to the degree that it's, you can see this being absolutely huge, it's Radio 1 playlist already. And I like that. I think it's great. She's about 19 or something. She's ex Brit school.
Is she really?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that when I decided to write the song. So I think she's probably, you know, I can really foresee her signing up to do an album of stuff like this, and it's selling incredibly well.
Yeah.
And that will be a turning point for some kind of dubstep.
It seems to me there is a sort of concerted effort to shunt dubstep into the mainstream at the moment, largely down to Benga and Scream. I think Scream's new album, you can really see him trying to adapt dubstep to different musical styles, more commercial musical styles. And then they've done this album together, Magnetic Man, which is sort of a bit like dubstep trance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit like dubstep pendulum, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a good look. I mean, my sort of worry about this is, I mean, I like that track. I like the sort of bounciness of it, and the oohs are pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty good. At what point did someone sort of say, you know, how to get dubstep into the mainstream is by putting a lot of rave synths on it. And they're also sort of prog house rave synths, which is like the worst kind of dance music.
I can see why they want to get in the charts. I can understand why, if you are a sort of groundbreaking, you know, I mean, it seems symptomatic at the moment of a lot of British kind of street dance music, urban dance music, whatever you want to call it, the sort of offshoots of garage, that the way it gets into the charts is, you know, grime just couldn't get into the charts for Love Nor Money in its original form. All the artists that are now doing very well have had to radically change their sound, Dizzy and Tingy Strider and people like that. It would be interesting to see if the dubstep scene says Benga has sold out. It says, you know, will purists say Benga has sold out?
Sure,
I bet they will.
Yeah.
You know?
No one will be able to hear them because no one listens to purists.
No, no.
It's not like they've got space on the internet.
Endlessly bang on. If only they had some kind of forums where they could go to and endlessly bang on.
The other thing I would say about this song that I noticed that I quite like is that it is about the music. And I think that's quite hard for a song to pull off, being about the scene or a club, or the music itself, without it sounding completely horrific. Do you remember
Raven? I'm Raven. I'm thinking about amazing record. Put on my Raven shoes.
Addicted to Bass, which I know was,
Addicted to Bass.
Australian
record, yeah.
Some Australian record, which I know people were saying, well, maybe it's about drugs, but it was also largely about, horrific Australian drum and bass music, of which we've already touched on in this show.
There is a lot of horrific Australian drum and bass music. it's interesting. It's got mainstream, it's got Radio 1 playlist. I reckon that's going to be a hit. I voted a hit. I do like it. I don't know how much more stuff like that I would want to hear. That meeting with general agreement.
If you listen to that, have you listened to the Magnetic Man album, which is more of that kind of stuff? Yeah. And after a while, I mean, it's back to the point that, Ministry of Sound vocals with a bit of rave synth, that's no way to sort of, progress a scene.
I think the point about it is, if you're trying to make pop music, and I think this is the problem with, there's one track on the Scream album, and I can't remember what it's called. It's got a vocalist called Freckles on it.
Oh, How Real.
Yeah. And the problem with that is, it's kind of brilliantly produced, really interestingly produced, got two steps sort of drum beat on it and things like that. It's not a very good song. Yeah. And I think as long as you've got like a totally killer tune, you know what I mean? It's a great pop record. It will transcend all those kind of things. Yeah. You can have the most ridiculous, you say, Ministry of Sound, vocal, rave synthy, trancey bit of nonsense. And if it's got an amazing song behind it, it'll work, I think. Anyway, KTB on a mission. Great name for it. KTB on a mission. Brilliant. Is out on August 22nd. Let's have a listen now to Malik's choice. That was Egyptian featuring, you don't hear her on that clip, but she is elsewhere on the track in her usual shy and retiring style. Nicki Minaj makes a guest appearance. That track is called Hold Ya. Malik, you brought that in. Tell me why.
Yeah, so this song has sort of been doing the rounds on the blogs for a while now, and it's on that Diplo, Major Lazer, Fader blog axis of sort of reggae. Egyptian is a guy from Jamaica, sort of originally wrote this song a couple of years ago, and it's one of those sort of future crossover records that everyone has got up on, Nicki Minaj is on this version, apparently there's a Beyonce version.
Is there really?
Vybz Kartel is on it. Drake, I think, has rewritten it on his album. And it's one of those, it is a sort of rare song, isn't it? I think the last time you had something like this was it Sean Kingston or that Diwali rhythm?
Yep.
And it's brilliant, isn't it? It's sunshine, it's melancholy, it just works on a number of levels. And originally I just thought it was Diplo showing off with his sort of hipster nonsense. And actually, if you walk around Hackney now, it's just being hammered out of every car.
I think it's a brilliant record. I think it's interesting. We were talking about it before we started recording, and you sort of mentioned Lover's Rock.
Yes.
And it's actually odd because I was listening to a bit of Lover's Rock last night. I was listening to Silly Games by Janet Kay. And what it has got is that amazing sense of kind of uplift, these sort of big uplifting kind of tune. But there's something deeply melancholy about it as well, and I really like that. It also reminded me a bit, and I'm going to get shouted down for saying this, it's like a record Wyclef Jean might have made. The forthcoming present of Haiti.
I don't think it's as sort of layered as a Wyclef Jean record, is it? It's actually quite simple, and that's the beauty of it. Just those piano keys.
Yeah. I think it reminded me of Wyclef. Did you remind you of Wyclef Jean?
Well, now you've said it, I'm not going to be able to get it out of my mind.
Yeah, you see.
I really like Nicki Minaj's contribution. It's short but sweet, for sure.
Not talking about her private parts for once, which is something of a miracle.
And she sort of brilliantly says cigarette, but says it as cigarette.
Anyway, sorry.
I know that people are constantly comparing her to Foxy Brown, but this is the one where she most reminds me of Foxy Brown, because obviously the pair of them have the ability to kind of, change into Jamaican inflection, and it sounds brilliant, and they should both have done much more of it. I think it's absolutely fantastic, and it's the best single we've got on this week.
I might even be forced to agree, even though I've brought in a track myself.
Yeah.
Should we play that now? That was Kisses, with People Can Do the Most Amazing Things. They're an offshoot of the band Princeton, who have came in to record some live tracks for us at the beginning of the summer. It's the lead singer of Princeton, Jesse Kivel, with his girlfriend, Zinzi Edmondson. Jesse Kivel and Zinzi Edmondson, that's like a bad hand at Scrabble, isn't it? I really like it. I don't know a great deal about them beyond that. I got sent their album, and it's kind of all killer, no filler, Balearic pop. It's really good. They're just good tunes all the way through it. Every track I really liked, which is why I brought it in. Rosie.
Have you heard the other Princeton offshoot, Sleeping Bag?
No.
Sounds like a kind of like really extremely lo-fi shoegaze, like ridiculously. Right. I've just recorded this in someone's garage on a wonky power supply. So one band, Princeton, who probably not that many people know of, have got two other bands that are completely different.
That's amazing. Options. So is it the other guy out of Princeton?
I think so.
It's his brother, isn't it?
The Kivels. Yeah, I think it's the other guy.
Wow.
I quite like this.
Quite like that.
This particular track.
Okay, Malik.
I liked it. Did it sound sort of antipodean to anyone else? It sort of sounded like an Australian, you know, that's that
pendulum.
Again. Yeah, the good side of Australian music. No, just again, that sunshine sort of melancholia that you get with Cut Copy or even, weirdly, it sounds like, and I hate to sort of say this, but The Church, what's that big track that they had? The one on the Donnie Darko soundtrack.
I'm trying to think. I've only got one album, but I've got Heyday by The Church, which is from 1985, and I don't think it's the big track is on there.
No.
Interesting comparisons, though. Very interesting. Anybody else got anything they want to add?
How does this register on the dubstep scene? I don't understand.
I think people think that they've sold out on the dubstep scene. Probably a forum somewhere dedicated to Princeton fans going, he's totally sold out. You know. Okay, well, look, I really liked it. Anyway, it's available now on iTunes. People Can Do the Most Amazing Things. Or you can get the 7-inch, which has a really good remix on the B-side by Pete Wiggs from St. Etienne, who seems a very obvious choice to remix a song like that, because it is a bit St. Etienne-y. But actually, his remix is like a sort of banging dance floor thing and totally not what I would have expected him to do. So you can get that, the 7-inch, from iamsoundrecords.com. Okay, remember, guardian.co.uk/musicweekly is the place to leave feedback from us. Here is some that we've picked up recently. We had a great response to the South African house music special last week. Magic Man said, nice. My wife and I came down for the World Cup and drove from Cape Town to Josie. Do you mean Johannesburg? Is that where you... No. Over a period of 3 weeks, saw 6 games, played the car radio the whole time. Afro House was it, baby. So thank you for this program, pod, or whatever it is. Lollipop said, thanks for this really interesting stuff. Is it really a case of barbecues and booze then? Nothing a little, inverted commas, stronger. When I was dancing to house music, a barbecue was the last thing I would have wanted. A few of you asked for a track listing. Unfortunately, producer Pete, as he has the track listing, he's gone on holiday with it. He's away all week. We will endeavour to get that list to you as soon as he's back. Thanks as ever for all your feedback. Write in and let us know. Write in and let us know what you thought of the Singles Club, or indeed what you think of Mathematics and Caribou. Keep it coming, please. guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. We've got a live track now from Chief. Rosie, you went to meet Chief.
No, they came in.
They came in to meet you.
They came into this very studio here.
That's more like it.
Yeah. Chief are Evan, Mike, Danny and Michael. And from California, they met while attending NYU. They formed a band. Now they're on Domino Records. Mm-hmm. And their debut album, Modern Rituals, is going to be released on August 17th. And here they are to introduce themselves on the track they played for us. I'm here with Chief. Chief from the studio to play a song. Hello.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself and the rest of the band?
Sure. I'm Evan. And Danny is playing guitar and singing. And Mike is playing bass and singing. And Michael is playing the cup and singing.
And playing the cup.
And coins.
Okay. Wait, is the cup from the Guardian building?
Yeah, I think I think it was a cup in the lobby that was taken and brought in here.
And what are you going to play for us today?
This is a song called Night and Day.
And do you want to tell us a bit about this song?
Yeah, sure. It's a song about opposites and attraction and relationships. And Mike is shaking his head like this is not what it's
He's
about.
He's the opposite. It's, in
it's,
this.
Kind, of, it's uh-huh. kind of about not attraction. It's kind of...
Or the yeah no is okay so it's about it's not
anything.
It's not it's about unattraction yeah
song about unattraction.
Yeah yeah
people. Well, yeah. Maybe we should hear this song.
Yeah.
Stops. Like, not that I wasn't in any. I'm not saying that in like I wish they'd stop or anything like that. Live music there from Chief, who came in to see us. So one of them was playing a cup.
Yes, that's they do that usually in their stripped down live sets. Right. They just find some.
And it was our cup.
Yes.
He took our cup.
Yes.
Did he give it back?
I don't know.
The recession is on. The newspaper market is being hit. We cannot afford to just hand out crockery willy-nilly
it's
to
funny,
any
that's
beardy
the
American
attitude
who walks
as well.
In.
If you ever try and take cutlery from the canteen out of the canteen to eat your lunch elsewhere in the building, they get really, really annoyed.
Do they?
Yeah.
How can I ask how he was playing it?
He had a small stick. And he was,
was it our stick? Did he take that from some other part of the building?
Maybe a pen from the station we covered, I don't know.
I just can't believe we've let these people in. It's absolutely appalling. It's like having the Happy Mondays and they've just ransacked and nicked everything. They've lifted the lot. The latest sign to Domino, home to all sorts of people like the Arctic Monkeys, blah, 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 blah. And
we've got two bands on the Mercury shortlist, Domino.
They have. Who's
Wild Beast?
I will never tire of saying Wild Beast like that.
As long as you don't tire of it, that's important.
No. I tell you what, yeah, the rest of the world will tire before I do. Is that your cup of tea at all?
I mean, there's a lot of that kind of stuff around, isn't there?
There isn't. It's a bit Fleet Foxes,
Bit Fleet Foxes, bit Midlakey as well,
bit
maybe.
Midlakey.
Yeah,
they've like, got a bit more somberness to them, haven't they, now?
Well, I think they're probably a bit more serious, aren't they?
Mm. You can see it finding an audience, though. A lot of people like that kind of stuff.
Particularly with the girl.
Particularly with what?
People that read The Guardian.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, there's a lot of and people who write for The Guardian as well like that kind of thing a lot as well.
You know what? I think it needs some rave synths.
I think it needs to get a pendulum remix.
Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj. Hey, come on, we're sorting. I hope Domino are listening to this because we're totally A&Ring their app for them. Nicki Minaj into Dear Guest Vocal, pendulum remix, Jobs Are Good and Radio 1 playlist.
bang!
Bang!
Done.
Boom!
Bow!
Bow! Bow! Chief's debut album, not alas featuring a pendulum remix, Modern Rituals, is released on August the 17th. That's your lot for this week, people. Thank you very much for coming in, Malik. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Cheers, Rosie. Sorry about the driving test, darling.
Oh,
I really am.
It's all right.
But I mean, the good thing about it is we'll be able to talk because you're going to have more lessons.
Oh, God. Yeah, really cheap as well. What a cheap year this has been, failing at driving lessons.
But it gives us more to talk about. I mean, it's all material. It's all material for the podcast. My thanks to our producer, Amy. I am away for the next 2 weeks. I'm going on holiday. With my in-laws, by mistake, obviously. So I'll be leaving the podcast in the very capable hands of Miss Rosie Swash, the very capable non-driving. As long as she's not behind the wheel, she's very capable.
Right.
Yeah. Rosie, I can trust you, I'm sure, to do this. And now we leave you with the aforementioned treat, a 9-minute exclusive Caribou track remixed by James Holden. This is Bowles, or if you're Caribou himself, this is Balls. I'm Alexis Petridis. I'll see you in a fortnight. Thank you.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.